Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robert, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. And today we're going to talk about Tim Bradley vacates his WBO title. Our history lesson today goes deep. February 9th, 1991, your boy, Terrible Terry Norris versus Sugar Ray Leonard. We also have, in a history-making session here at Ringside Reporter, not one, but two train wrecks of the week that you do not want to miss. But first, we get started with the big news. Prince Charles Martin steps up in a big way. The IBF heavyweight champion has signed on for April 9th to fight Anthony Joshua at the O2 Arena in London. So this is really big news, man. Charles Martin deserves all the credit in the world for stepping up to fight Anthony Joshua. honestly, man, the conventional wisdom here is for Martin's camp is to, to fight Anthony Joshua before he actually develops. I think that's kind of the big thing here.
I think Joshua will steal this title.
Yeah, the problem for Martin is that, the problem is that Martin's not fully developed either. That's the long and the short of that one. And I think this is an easy win for Anthony Joshua. Martin is probably going to get some really good money.
He is getting really good money. And let's face it, the PBC, if rumors are true, are having major money trouble. So this is their way to put money in their coffers, even though Charles Martin is going to come home empty-handed.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you, and Anthony Joshua has opened as a 7-1 favorite.
Yep.
What do you think of this fight? Do you think it's really that one-sided? Do you think Martin has any chance at all here?
Look, he didn't look impressive against Glasgow, and frankly, the times I've seen him on my TV, he's won, but he hasn't really looked like he's anything special. I think this is a lottery ticket. Like a Powerball ticket for Anthony Joshua. He's going to win this title and probably keep it hostage over there in the UK until they can set up a fight with either Wilder or Fury.
Well, let's see here. In the IBF, the top two, if we look at the heavyweights, you got Anthony Joshua coming in. Let's look at their mandatories here. Erkin Tepper is number three, rated number one and two are not rated. So yeah. Erkin Temper is number three.
And I don't even know who that is.
No idea who he is. Anthony Joshua is number four. Carlos Takam is number five. Joshua Parker, number six.
You mean Joseph Parker.
I've got Joshua Parker here.
It's supposed to be Joseph Parker.
Vyacheslav Glaskov, which is number seven, he just lost a shot at the title. He's not coming in anytime soon.
Right.
Steve Cunningham, ranked number eight. Andy Ruiz, number nine. And Berman Stavern, number 10. Followed by, to round it out, Kubrat Pulev. And Derek Chisora is at number 13. Brazil is at number 15.
The only fighter,
a murderer's row there.
The only fighter on that list that everybody talks about that has a bright future is Joseph Parker.
Yeah.
He's the one that's gotten everybody's attention. I heard this yesterday, that, you know, he's going to win this title and keep it hostage. And, you know, make as many defenses over there as possible until something major is set up.
I agree with that. And it's a good move for Anthony Joshua because I think it's a cakewalk for him against Charles Martin. I really do. I mean, Joshua is the real deal. I've said it before. My only problem is that do you think that it's too early for him to get this shot? I mean, clearly he wins the fight.
Is it too early for what's
going to happen to him after this fight? You know what I mean,
Eric. It is too early. That's why they're going to feed him one cupcake after another until they think he's ready for somebody major.
Is this what they did a lot of, in a big way with Deontay Wilder?
Yeah, but except Deontay Wilder was able to get fed cupcakes before he got the title shot.
Right.
You know.
I mean, it does. You know, he's fought 32 rounds as a professional. I'm speaking of Joshua here.
Yeah.
I mean, 32 rounds, that's not a lot, you know? I mean, that's really not a lot.
But frankly, with that right hand of his, he's going to make a very short night of it, or afternoon in this case, because it will be on Showtime. You can guarantee that. With an Al Haymon fighter going over to the UK, it's going to be on Showtime.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be one of those afternoon deals like we're going to have here in a couple of weeks with Quigg and Frampton. So... You know, but it's going to be a very short, you know, night or afternoon for Martin, because Joshua has got a devastating right hand, you know?
Yeah, I tell you, he really does, man. This guy is the real deal, and he's also a good boxer. I think that's the other thing that kind of slips through the cracks. To me, he's a better boxer than Wilder. I mean, on paper, when you look at his mechanics and when you look at everything he does, I think he's a better – he's actually a better – just like Cal Brook, to me, is one of the better welterweights just because of his technique. And I think
he's also 6'7". Don't forget that. He's not exactly small here.
He is big guy. Yeah, he's a big guy.
And he's going to give people like Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury or Vladimir Klitschko, when they think he's ready for these guys, fits.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that you talk about, like, say, Tyson Fury, who doesn't exactly have a death grip on that belt.
No.
You know, he looked as vulnerable as anybody else did, even with that Klitschko win.
Yeah, but the UK, I mean, Eddie Hearn is hoping that Klitschko wins the rematch and they can set up something mega for, like, Wembley Stadium, you know, either, you know, sometime in the future, like next year or something like that. You know, that's what his thinking is.
Right. Yeah, this is, but for Joshua, if I'm Joshua and his handlers, I definitely take this fight. Obviously, it's already made, so they have, but, you know, hindsight and everything like that, I take this fight because I think it's going to be a good win for him. And looking at who's ranked in the IBF.
Now, remember, Charles Martin is an Al Haymon fighter. Eddie Hearn and Al Haymon have worked together in the past. Does this mean Al Haymon starts to have options on Anthony Joshua title defenses where he's not allowed to fight whoever he wants? He fights whoever Al Haymon decides he fights.
I Al Haymon is the manager. Haymon is the manager. And, you know, now him and Eddie Hearn is the promoter.
Yeah.
Now, whether, you know, if they sign that contract with him, I mean, there's a different ways, I mean, working with people. I mean, Scott Quigg belongs to Eddie Hearn as well.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure that he has a managerial deal with Haymon.
Well, he might. It might be contingent on if Scott Quigg beats Carl Frampton. If Scott Quigg beats Carl Frampton, then he might have a managerial. I bet you when Al negotiates these contracts, he makes sure that he puts his name somewhere. So, you know, if the other guy wins, he still gets a piece of the pie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works and how it's laid out and everything like that. I find it hard to believe that, you know, like I said, I know that politics plays a big role in boxing and in the fight game in general. You know,
bigger than what I'd like it to play, but, you know,
right.
We've got to look at the possibilities here.
Right. You know, but I don't know that Haymon really pulls strings and saying, you know, well, we're just going to keep the belt with us. We don't care who you are. I don't know that it's like that.
We're going to find out come February 27th if Quigg is able to beat Frampton, which I've never seen Scott Quigg, so I don't know. I know he's good.
He's explosive, man. Yeah, he's a knockout artist, man. He can bang.
But, you know, I've never seen him, so, you know. But we'll find out if Quigg is able to beat Frampton, and then we'll find out how the politics actually works, because that'll give us a clue as to what happens on April 9th, because there is no way, in my opinion, that I can see Charles Martin winning this fight.
Not after his last fight. Not after the way he looked.
He
just didn't look good at all. He won the fight, kind of, you know. He was winning that fight. You know, Glasgow looked okay. But we've seen Glasgow fight, and we've seen him in really, you know, in competitive fights with Cunningham and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Glasgow, I mean, he's definitely not a worthy challenger to that title.
No.
You know, so that's kind of tough for me to swallow that, you know, Charles Martin is the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
You know.
And as somebody pointed out yesterday, it may be the shortest reign in heavyweight championship history. So, you know.
Well, you know, Anthony Joshua, while he's only fought 32 rounds.
And only 15 fights.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of experience. He's a gold medal winner, isn't he? He's a gold medal winner, you know.
Yeah.
Olympian. So he's seen a lot of different styles. So he's very skilled. He's one of the most skilled heavyweights that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yep.
In the sense that he's got power, but he's also, like Lennox Lewis was a really good tactician in the ring. He was very skilled. He reminds me, he's not Lennox Lewis, but he's a lot. He's cut from that same cloth, you know.
Well, as somebody pointed out yesterday, is he going to be the Lennox Lewis of the heavyweight division, or is he going to be like Frank Bruno?
Well, who knows? Because, you know, we do know that he got clipped by Dylan White. He was in trouble in that fight, you know. But to his credit, you know, fought back. And again, to his credit, I mean, you got to think about it. You know, you can't really say just because somebody in the heavyweight division gets knocked out that they don't have a chin, or knocked, you know, senseless, they don't have a chin, because
over 200 pounds, if they hit you, you're going to go.
Yeah, if they hit you flush in the right spot. And you're talking about guys that know how to hit, know where to hit, and, I mean, it's, you know, that's a big deal. But, I got all the respect in the world for Charles Martin, man, but this is a really big step for him right here.
Yep.
But if he wins, it's a long shot, but if he does win, man, I tell you what, he sets up a huge payday with somebody.
There ain't no way that he goes over to the UK and keeps that title. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either, to be honest with you. I like I said, man, Anthony Joshua, I've been saying it for a long time. I think it's premature to give him this shot, but I still think he comes away with it.
Well, Eric, I knew that Joshua was going to get some kind of shot because he was number one in the IBF and number two in the WBC. So I knew that somewhere down the road that he was going to get some kind of title shot even before he was ready.
Yeah, I was surprised that he's rated so high. But, you know, you look at the heavyweight division, I mean, and there's nobody there. I mean, there really is nobody there, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why everybody's talking about, again, I've never seen him, but that's why everybody in boxing, such as Al Bernstein, is talking about Joseph Parker. You know, I hope we get to see him because I want to see what everybody's talking about.
Right.
But, you know, that's the name that Al Bernstein keeps talking about, and now others have picked up the train. So, I don't know, you might see Joshua and Parker somewhere down the road, you know.
You never know, right?
You know,
yeah, you never know. I have a feeling, though, if he's dangerous, they're going to keep him away for a while. I think that, you know, Joshua's going to win this, and then maybe he defends it against, you know, Derek Chisora or David Haye, one of those kind of guys,
no,
a voluntary.
And they're going to keep this thing in the UK house, okay? Where, you know, it's like Wilder's hanging on to the WBC. He's doing his thing here. Well, Joshua is doing his thing over there because they want to set up something in the future with Fury if he beats Klitschko. So
you know
that's how they're thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, pretty soon, two-thirds of the two-thirds will be the – whatchamacallit?
In the UK.
In the UK, yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be 13 British champions, so,
wow.
You know.
Insane.
Yeah.
All right, let's move ahead to Tim Bradley. He recently vacated his WBO title. Bradley vacates his title rather than to face Saddam Ali. And you know what? I got to be honest, man. I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. You know, honestly, Saddam Ali is not going to bring, you know, Bradley any money. You know, he's not going to bring, you know, it's not like you're going to get rich fighting Saddam Ali. You know, if you're Tim Bradley, I mean, think about it for a second. If you're Tim Bradley, who would you rather fight, Pacquiao or Saddam Ali?
No, for his financial aspect alone.
He's getting millions for Pac-Man.
Yeah.
He wouldn't come near that kind of money for Saddam Ali. Saddam Ali would dust off Tim Bradley And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think Saddam takes him out. But, I mean, I think Saddam wins that fight pretty handily.
I think Saddam Ali is going to win the title anyway, because I think he's going to beat Jesse Vargas.
Right, which leads me to my next one is Jesse Vargas now. What do they do with the WBO title? Well, what we're going to do is Jesse Vargas will face Saddam Ali on March 5th on HBO, and that'll be on the Luis Ortiz and Tony Thompson undercard.
That is correct.
And that'll be for the welterweight title.
Yeah,
a lot of people, are wondering why, Saddam Ali's is mandatory. I think Bradley kind of held on to it a little bit too long, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm anxious to see Saddam Ali get back in there and...
one good thing about this is when Bradley and Pacquiao fight, there's no belt on the line, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I mean, there will be some title on the line, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they'll make up something, but realistically, no belt on the line, I'm perfectly okay with that, you know.
Yeah, I am too, because it really doesn't mean anything, you know. I mean, it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know. All right, let me see something here. Who is Jesse Vargas? Yeah, this is my issue with this fight, okay? With
Jesse Vargas is promoted by Top Rank. Is that
right.
What you're looking for?
Right. And his last fight, and it was against Tim Bradley.
Yeah.
This is the one, and he lost the fight. Lost it pretty clear, unanimous decision. And I'm, like I said, man, I'm always Tim Bradley's biggest, detractor or whatever, because I'm not a big Tim Bradley guy. But I don't think he was near knocked out in that 12th round.
No.
I think he could have gained 30 more seconds. He's okay. He had weathered the storm. Fight ends. You had your shot. Boom, it's done. How does he go from a loss? How do you get a title shot on a loss? Adrian Waller.
Frankly, because I don't think anybody really wanted to fight Saddam Ali. I think Jesse was the only option here, because everybody in boxing that knows anything about boxing, Eric, knows the skill that Saddam Ali has, and a lot of intelligent fighters have said thanks but no thanks.
Yeah.
So I think the reason why Vargas is getting this title shot is because nobody else wanted to take the fight with him.
Yeah.
With Ali.
You kind of wonder why, and I know both fighters are top-ranked guys and everything like that, but, I mean, you know, seriously, I mean, the guy's coming off a loss. I don't think anytime you come off a loss, you really don't deserve a title shot. You just don't. I mean...
Well, and he's going to get another loss, so we won't have to worry about Jesse Vargas for a while.
Yeah, Saddam Ali is the real deal, man. This guy is something else, and it'll be interesting. I tell you what, it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here, you know. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where Saddam Ali goes after this fight.
And, well, I think doors are opening. My theory is coming through here, and I think fights that could not be made in the past can be made in the future. So I think Saddam Ali, doors will not be closed on him. I see the kid has a bright future, and I think he's going to get some big paydays.
I think so, too. And I think that, you know, as I'm looking at the rankings here, you got Saddam Ali. He's going to fight Jesse Vargas. Bradley and Pacquiao are fighting. You know, he's given up his belt, so they're fighting. You know, look, man, I mean, you got Kell Brook over there in the IBF. Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia, those pretty much out of his, you know, his round.
No, that's what I'm saying, Eric. I don't think those are out of his possibilities anymore.
Really?
No, because let's face it, you have Dominic Wade fighting Triple G. Who does Dominic Wade, who's represented Dominic Wade? It's Al Haymon. You have Amir Khan, represented by who? Al Haymon. I think with the new guy in charge at HBO, I think all bets are off, and I think fights can be made.
Well, I think they can be made. No, that's not what I'm saying here. But, like, Keith Thurman is not going to fight Saddam Ali because he's not a big enough name. Danny Garcia is not going to fight Saddam Ali right now because he's not a big enough name. Ali is going to have to fight, if he wants it, he's going to have to fight a bigger name, you know, or collect another belt. That's why I'm looking at the IBF with Kell Brook.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Danny Garcia will fight the winner of Sean Porter and Keith Thurman. That'll clear up one thing. And I think Kell Brook will fight Amir Khan as soon as Amir Khan loses to Alvarez. And I think that'll eventually clear that up, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Saddam Ali may be one of those. I wonder if he's going to be one of those fighters like an Errol Spence, where nobody's really excited to get in the ring with him. You know,
that's what's happened already.
Yeah,
that's what's happened already.
I mean, because he doesn't have. I mean, you know, he's fought some really good competition, but no real big names are real anxious to fight him because they know. You know, it's a tough road. It's kind of like fighting Rigondeaux or something like that, where, you know.
I mean, hell, down the road, you could see, if my theory is correct, you could see somebody like Spence going after this title.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a dynamite fight, him and Spence.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think the doors that were previously closed in 2015, unless I'm proven wrong, I think doors are now opened. In 2016.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way I see it. And hopefully I'm proven correct. I don't want to be proven wrong on this because it's better for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I can't wait for that fight on March 5th. Saddam Ali and Jesse Vargas. Of course, as far as the Bradley Pacquiao fight, I don't really want
and,
to.
And Luis Ortiz, he looked better against Brian Jennings. I wasn't impressed with what I saw on the undercard of Golovkin and Lemieux, but he looked better against Jennings. So
he did look much better against Jennings. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So maybe he does have a heavyweight future. I kind of questioned it after what I saw in October. But
yeah, I did too, very much.
But you know, we'll see what happens now. You know.
Let's talk about in a couple of weeks here, Carl Frampton. I always want to say Peter Frampton. Carl Frampton, Scott Quigg are going to hook it up. These two were on a program in the UK, and I'm not sure what the program was called. It just slips my mind right now. But it's similar to the HBO Face Off program with Max Kellerman, where they got the two fighters sitting there at a table, the chairs are backwards. And Robert just told me that that's where Face Off actually came from. Which
they stole the idea from the UK. Yeah,
they do that all the time. I mean, they stole. Yep. What do they steal? American Idol. They stole The Office. They stole all those ideas came from the UK. You know, and they just
re-get
them here. You know, the two fighters sitting backwards in the chair. You get the picture. They started talking, and Frampton. I've never really heard him talk. I've just seen him fight. You know, and I've seen a lot of his fights. He just sounds so arrogant. Going into this fight, I think and he gives Scott Quigg very little respect. I'm actually, after seeing this program, I'm actually rooting for Scott Quigg in this fight. He just seemed very down to earth, man. Frampton just seems very arrogant.
Since I didn't get to see it, I'll have to take your word for it, but I've never seen Quigg fight, so. I have to root for what I have saw, and I'll be taking Carl Frampton just because I haven't seen the other guy, you know.
What did you think of Carl Frampton's last fight?
I thought for a U.S. debut, I thought he did okay, you know. You could tell he was nervous because it was the biggest stage he'd ever been on, never fought over here before. You know, got knocked down in the first round, but he recovered from that and won the fight.
I thought he boxed very effectively.
Yeah.
And I think that's, from what I'm hearing from him, he's saying that's going to be the difference in the fight. He said that Scott Quigg only knows one way to box, and that's to try to get you out of there. That's going to be his big way to win.
Whereas
Frampton can also get you out of there, but he can also box very well.
Yeah, and I think Carl, I hate to talk about a fighter that I've never seen, but Carl does have that kind of advantage over a lot of people. So
yeah, very good, man. Quigg is very good, but Frampton is a very good boxer.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to February 27th, and that'll be on Showtime, folks.
I can't wait for that one to happen. I know when we were talking about fantasy fights last year, That was on the fantasy list. You know, everybody had Mayweather Pacquiao and everybody, you know, with Mayweather Pacquiao or whatever, they had that. And then they had this fight right here with Frampton and Quigg. And this is a big one. This is a really, really big one. So,
I got to compliment Showtime because when Showtime does one of these fights, they have their guys in the studio. But you know what? When the fight actually happens, we get to hear the UK guys call it. HBO, learn a lesson. You know,
right.
don't call fights on the studio. Give it to the British guys who are actually at ringside. Come on.
All right. Let's talk about Andre Ward. Andre Ward has finally signed to face Sullivan Barrera. This took almost 8 weeks, just right around 8 weeks to figure out and set up. This is not like a big super fight, you know, and I don't know what the holdup was. Andre Ward
Andre Ward's being a superstar diva. That's basically what it, you know.
That's what it sounded like, I tell you that.
Yeah.
The fight will take place on March 26th and be televised on HBO. I think there was probably some gamesmanship on the part of Ward for delaying the signing, you know. That's what I think. So, you know, we'll see how it works out for him. Sullivan Barrera's no pushover, man. He's a really good fighter, you know. So, we'll have to wait and check that out. But I'm glad the contract is signed. I'm glad he's going to fight again. Yeah, he's almost his own worst enemy in a lot of ways, you know.
Yeah.
He's the one that, you know, he sat out for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Yep.
Over contract disputes.
Yep.
You know,
basically, I hate to put it like this, but he basically waited for the guy he was fighting with in court to die before he got out of his contract.
Well, and that's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, unbelievable.
I mean,
you know.
Geez. You know.
And then you mentioned there was a pretty good undercard for that, correct?
Yeah, Joseph Diaz and Jason Velez. That's an interesting fight because I love JoJo Diaz.
Yeah, very good fight. So hopefully that gets shown, too, on that undercard.
Yeah,
so
both of those fights are going to be shown on HBO.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And also more news, Robert's boy Antonio Margarito is making a return to the ring.
He's going to look like me with his eyesight when this is done.
Former welterweight titleist Antonio Margarito will face Mexican countryman Jorge Paez Jr. How about that? In a scheduled 10-round junior middleweight fight on March 5 at Mexico City Arena. This will be televised in the U.S. on BN Sports.
Well, I'm glad I'm not going to watch it because I don't understand Spanish, so that's good.
I don't even think we get BN. Do you get BN? I don't get BN.
I don't give, no. But
we have it on DirecTV. If you look at the guide, there's DirecTV. It's got, there's BN Sports. I can't figure out how to get it, though, and neither can the people at DirecTV, so.
Eric, if you bought the... if you bought the foreign language package,
that's
you would get it. But since you know you speak Spanish, I don't. So you know that's up your alley.
There you go.
Go for it.
Zanfer Promotions is actually putting the fight on anyway. They're a Mexican promotion company, and they have a lot of fighters from Mexico, obviously, and a lot of lower level.
Well, Antonio, I hope you enjoy learning Braille and learning how to use a cane and maybe dealing with a guide dog because, you know, you're going to be blind after this, son.
Oh, I tell you what, man. I don't understand it. I don't know how which is why he's fighting in Mexico City. That's probably the only place that'll license him, you know.
Stupid. Take it from somebody that does not have all their eyesight. Keep what you got. You don't want to do anything to risk it. But he is, so, you know.
Hey, it's on him, man.
Yeah.
He has to come back and fight, though. He really does, to redeem himself from those pictures. There was pictures of him floating around on social media of him. He was dressed up in, like, this crazy sweater, and he's got this puppy right next to him. And it's like posed shots. I mean, like, he went to a studio and had these done with his dog. And it's like a terrier-type dog. It's not even like a pit bull or anything. It's like this terrier-type dog, and he's posing.
Well, that's rather appropriate since tonight is the final night of the Westminster Dog Show.
You got to respect the Westminster Dog Show.
Yeah.
All right. This is interesting, man. This next story is interesting, man. Now, Chocolatito will fight on the Triple G undercard. McWilliams Arroyo is going to get the nod and go against Chocolatito Gonzalez, which is scheduled for April 23rd at the Forum in Inglewood.
I got news on that as far as tickets go. They did the pre-sale on Friday, and as we're recording this, today is Tuesday. 5,000 pre-sales were already sold before tickets went on sale. So for you people that think that the Triple G isn't the real deal, wake up, because the Forum is going to be they're probably going to end up selling standing room only tickets.
My goodness. Mexicans love this guy, man. Mexicans love Triple G.
Yeah.
Because they like the way he fights, man.
And that's why whenever Triple G fights, Gonzalez fights, because, hey, they know how to promote people, okay?
That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, McWilliams Arroyo, his twin brother, is fighting also, too, on the 23rd, but not on that same card. He's actually fighting. McJoe Arroyo is actually fighting in Puerto Rico. And he's from Puerto Rico, but he's actually traveling to the Philippines to make his first title defense in Manila against Jerwin Anacajas, a Manny Pacquiao promoted fighter. So I think it's pretty interesting. Both twin brothers are fighting on the same night, different places. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
I don't know a whole lot about Puerto Rican names.
Nope.
I don't understand McJoe and McWilliams.
I have no idea.
I'm just McWilliams and McJoe Arroyo. Those are the two. So,
yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Now, let's move into Robert's favorite segment. Train Wreck of the Week. This is beautiful. We're going to start off. We have two.
Adrian Broner, you ought to be proud because two worthy recipients this week.
Not even Adrian Broner has done this.
Not even
Adrian Broner has made it twice.
Yeah.
All right. Roy Jones Jr. has decided to not hang up the gloves, and he will be fighting again. Should you be concerned for Roy's safety? Probably not, because Roy Jones Jr. will be fighting a fan. That's right, a fan.
Yeah.
Yep, you heard that correctly. Roy Jones Jr. will be fighting a fan next. The fight will be taking place on March 20. Now, to enter this contest, you must submit a 60 to 90 second video to your show, urshow.tv, to be considered. So, yeah, I can go ahead and submit my video and say, yeah, I want to beat the tar out of Roy Jones, and if they like it, I'm in. They're going to put me in the ring with this animal, and he's going to, and then I've got to fight him. Now, it's for $100,000. Now, before you get too excited, you have to beat Roy Jones to collect the $100,000.
So, Eric, are you going to submit your video and sign up?
I've submitted 5 so far, and I've got no calls. All right. All right. So, you have to win the fight. So, think about this. Think about this for a minute here. Even if you're training, even if you're a good amateur or something like that, $100,000, you have to go, but you have to beat Roy Jones.
Now,
if
you're an amateur fighter, say you're in the amateur program, do you want to violate your amateur status by accepting this?
Do they do that? I don't even know if they do that in amateur boxing. You know what? I guess they do. I guess they do. Because remember how they had the World Boxing League?
Because remember, there's a lot of fighters that lost their amateur status for participating in that World Series, in what you're talking about.
I don't think
they got paid.
Did they really? I don't think they did. I thought that was like a conduit so that they could actually make money and stay amateur.
No,
I know Lomachenko was in there. Gary Russell. All of those guys were in there.
I know, but now they've changed the rules. You can't get paid.
Yeah, so if you're an amateur, unless you're turning pro, I wouldn't take it, man, because you're going to lose your status, and there you go. $100,000, man, that's a lot of cake, man.
And remember, he's fighting in the cruiserweight division, so you have to be around 200 pounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. I mean, I guess your average person is going to be around 200 pounds.
Yeah.
But, he's probably going to take the guy who just got off the couch, Yeah, I could beat Roy, Listen, Roy Jones is way past his prime, shouldn't be fighting again, has been knocked out multiple times. There is no, let me tell you this right now, if you're thinking about fighting this guy and you're thinking about collecting that $100,000 bounty, save it. It ain't going to happen, man. You are not going to beat Jones. Jones is too good.
I don't know how a boxing commission or any state licensing organization can even fathom to, they give him a date. Do we know where this is taking place?
I don't know right offhand. I had it, but I'm not sure right offhand.
Because he's from Florida. So, unless he's willing to travel somewhere, I'm assuming it's going to be in Florida. I don't know how anybody can allow Roy to fight because you know, I mean, what kind of medical exams does...
I would imagine, I wouldn't be surprised if it took place with headgear, and it was more of an exhibition type thing, you know. But now, I don't know if they can truly call it an exhibition with judges. I don't know that.
No, because remember, there's money on the line, and I don't know how, I don't know what the rules are. Can you get paid for exhibitions?
Well, nobody's getting paid. You only get paid if you beat him. I don't think Jones is getting paid. Well, I mean, I'm sure he's getting paid. You're not getting paid.
Roy doesn't do anything for free, Eric. Come on.
Right. But I know you're not getting paid if you get in there with him.
No.
Unless you knock him out or beat him, you know, which, you know, good luck.
Not my size, man. I'm too small. You know?
Yeah, I bet I can knock Roy out. Yeah, I bet I can do that. You can just picture like a million couch potatoes that watch boxing. Like, yeah, but I can beat that guy.
Well, hey, you know? if you and Lisa have debts, it's a way to pay them off.
That's right. No. That's right. Well, what about the medical debt I'm going to accrue after the fight? You know, so there you go.
You got good work insurance.
There, that's it. That's it, man. Now, the sideshow is not to be outdone, all right? The March 20 event is also scheduled to include other past champions, but against each other, not fans. I mean, they're actually fighting each other here. The fight list includes Kurt Angle of WWE fame and Rey Mysterio Jr. in wrestling. They're going to wrestle each other.
I don't know if
it's going to be an amateur contest or a pro wrestling contest. That I don't know.
Okay.
I can't imagine it's going to be amateur wrestling. Kurt Angle is a gold medalist and amateur, so I can't imagine Mysterio.
Gee, maybe Vince McMahon could put this on the WWE Network and make it a pay-per-view event.
No doubt, man.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock will fight Dan Severn in an MMA fight.
Okay.
And Chael Sonnen will fight... go ahead.
So Dana White can be included in this. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Cool. And two others, Chael Sonnen versus Michael Bisping in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu match. Interesting. The last one is pretty interesting, Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I think that's a very interesting match.
Yeah.
Chael Sonnen is an extremely good wrestler, very good amateur wrestler. Michael Bisping is a good MMA fighter, very good in Brazilian jiu-jitsu as well. So I think that's a very good. That's the only fight on the card I would really be interested in. I'm not really interested in seeing Roy Jones knock out some bum. You know, like, I've been watching him do that for 20 years.
You don't want to make your professional debut, huh, Eric?
Yeah, I think I might sit that one out, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Roy Jones is a little bit too quick for me even now. I saw a picture, you know, I saw a video of Ken Buchanan shadow boxing. He is 70 years old. Ken Buchanan is 70 years old, a guy who fought Roberto Duran, former lightweight champion. 70 years old. And let me tell you what, that guy would wipe the floor with me. I mean, that guy looks great, man, at 70 years old. He was in there shadow boxing. That guy looks tough, man. I'm like, wow.
All right.
Yeah, you're looking at Roy Jones, you know, Hall of Famer, one of the best ever. Yeah, he got no shot, man. He could beat you on the worst day.
But again, I don't understand why somebody like him, who's got a Hall of Fame resume, who's had a wonderful career, why he wants to continue doing this. I don't understand.
I mean, it's really no danger. I mean, you think about it. It's really a win-win for him. I mean, he gets publicity. There's really no danger in it. You know what I mean? There really isn't. I mean, who are you going to bring to the table that's going to be dangerous for that guy?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're seriously a fan of Roy Jones, who are you going to bring to the table that's going to be dangerous for that guy? If it's just your average, everyday Joe, there's no way, man. There's no way. Boxing's too technical. You know, it's not even like other sports where you can just get – I mean, it's too technical, man. There's too many things that, you know – he knows too much.
Yeah.
You know,
Roberto Duran, I know you go to a lot of fights. Why don't you show up?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You remember when they used to have, like, the celebrity boxing, and you have, like, Refrigerator Perry versus, you know, Manute Bol or something stupid, you know, or Lawrence Taylor's in there, you know.
And you got Ed Too Tall Jones, you know, he could step in the ring with good old Roy there.
Yeah, you know? I'm wondering, you know, because a lot of people are fans of Roy Jones, a lot of celebrities and fans. I mean, I wonder if they're going to put a celebrity in there.
Yeah.
Or somebody who, you know, I, like I said, man, I don't see anybody
No, I don't either.
I mean, because you like him or not, I mean, he's still beating, you know, at the time, you know, when he got, and he got beat his last fight or whatever, he's in there with world-class fighters, and he's still, and for the first three rounds of that fight, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He didn't look too bad.
Remember, had he won his last fight in Russia, he would have been a mandatory title challenger for one of the cruiserweight champions.
Right? I mean, seriously. I mean, so the guy's a world-class, he's still a world-class fighter, you know? I mean, if he got, he can beat 99% of the average people. If you're not a boxer, he's going to beat 99% of the average people out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I would think it was funny though if say somebody like a Roberto Duran showed up or something. Okay, here I am. You know,
I tell you what, man, I would say Ken Buchanan, man, that guy looked good, man. That guy looked sharp, man. He looked really good. I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, that's Ken Buchanan. I was like, get out of here. That guy was sharp still, man. He was in a shadow box, and I was like, wow. I want to see him and Roberto Duran fight again. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the second train wreck of the week. This is beautiful, man. This is just unbelievable. Now, you and I had a discussion about this yesterday about Manny Pacquiao and who he's fighting next. Because I said that, you know, Bob Arum has talked about lining Terrence Crawford up next.
Right.
If Pacquiao gets by Bradley. And you were like, no, he's going to the, he's, you know, he's running, obviously he's running for Senate or whatever. He's running for office over in the Philippines.
Right.
He's done. He's done after this fight because that's going to take up all his time.
Right. And Manny has said that on numerous occasions.
Yeah. Well, maybe it won't take up so much of his time now.
No, because after this.
Yeah, right.
Boy.
All right, so Manny Pacquiao came out within the past 24 hours is when I saw the story. So yesterday or today, one of those two. And said basically that gays are worse than animals. That was
gays and lesbians.
Yeah. Are worse than animals.
Yeah.
The boxing star and Philippine Senate candidate Manny Pacquiao apologized Tuesday for denouncing people in gay relationship as worse than animals, but said he stood by his opposition to the same-sex marriage. Pacquiao stated, "It's just common sense." Pacquiao said to the TV5 in Philippines, "Have you ever seen?" He said, "Have you ever seen an animal having male-to-male or female-to-female relations?" He says, "Animals," he said, "were better because they recognize gender differences. And if you have a male-to-male or female-to-female relationships, then people are worse than animals." Are you an idiot? Number one, I mean, that campaign, if it was going anywhere, it just came to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
That was like one of those things where you could hear a pin drop after he talked, you know? It's like, seriously, dude? You know? Look, man, I mean, he's entitled to his opinion and everything like that, but I think, man, if you're running for office, you're going to have to be a little bit tolerant of people. You know, you can have your, you know, you can have your beliefs about marriage equality and all that other stuff or same sex marriage, whatever you want to do. He can have his beliefs. But, man, I tell you what, once you take office, you represent people. You don't represent a certain section of people. You represent the people.
Right.
You represent everyone.
Monday, May 9th has just become very interesting for one Manny Pacquiao.
Unbelievable, man. This guy, you know. Who does he think he is, Donald Trump? He could just go out there and say whatever, and he's fine, you know? I don't get it, man.
Well, unfortunately, Donald Trump has brought that into our society, and we're going to see other political figures and celebrities say stupid things and do stupid things, and so we're never going to run out of material for the train wreck of the week.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, and this guy, you know, he's done a lot for the Philippines and everything like that, but it's not like, you know, there's no gays in the Philippines. You know, it's not like there's not, you know, a group of people that disagree with this guy. I mean, what are you thinking about? I mean, why would you say that? I mean, that's just a stupid thing to say, period. You know.
No, I mean, after all, we have the presidential primaries going on in this country right now. If one of the political candidates that were running said something like that, they would be totally dismissed, discarded. People would just totally ignore them.
Yeah, I mean, and that it kind of goes back to, you know, if you believe in this, the scientific version of this and everything, you know, do you really think these people are making a choice to be like that? I mean, that they're saying, okay, well, I want, you know, it's the way you're born. It's who you're attracted to. You know, we're attracted to women. You can't help that. I mean, you're not attracted to men. Some people are the opposite. Some people, you know, it's just the way it is, you know. I mean, whether you believe it or not, you know, I mean, everybody's got their opinions on it. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, again, when you're running for office.
Unfortunately, our world is made up of many, 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 many differences.
Sure.
And, you know, whether you agree with people's choices or not, if you're going to be in the limelight, if you're going to run for political office, you're going to have to learn to work with many different people. Like, for example, Eric, you and I would not do what Bruce Jenner did and totally change your lifestyle and,
right.
and become a woman.
Right.
You know, most normal people wouldn't do that. But there are people in this world who believe in that kind of thing, and they are going to do that, and they are going to. So you have to be open-minded and tolerant of other people's choices, especially if you're on a public forum, if you're in the media, if you're a celebrity, entertainer, of any you've got to be very careful about what you say. You just can't. Social media and the internet have totally changed the way people used to express their opinions.
Right.
Now you have to be very careful about what you say and when you say it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like I said, I mean, most people, you know, most people with the Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner or whatever she wants to be, I guess it's Caitlyn
right.
Jenner now.
Right.
You know, most people probably wouldn't do that, or most men probably wouldn't have that done or whatever. But
right.
look, this guy believed it. That's what he wanted to be. And at the end of the day, it doesn't affect me.
No.
I see two guys kissing, it doesn't affect me. You know, I see two girls kissing, it doesn't affect me. You know,
it has
nothing to do with me.
No.
You know, and again, man, I'll keep going back to it, man. If you're in public office, you represent the people, not this
yeah.
section of people. You represent everybody, you know, and it's just a silly.
Now, what I'm interested in now, Eric, April 9th has just become more interesting because, you know, normally when Manny Pacquiao comes out to the ring, he normally gets a standing ovation. People are always cheering for him. I wonder how many people are going to be totally against him now on Fight Night.
No, I don't think that changes. I really don't. He came out with this stance. He didn't, you know, say that, you know, gay people are animals, but he came out with the he was opposed to same-sex marriage before the Mayweather fight. He got a good welcome. So I don't anticipate that changing too much. And to Pacquiao's credit, you know, 24 hours later after he got tons of backlash, you know, I'm sure, he came out and he put out a video apologizing and said, you know, he's very sorry, deeply sorry for anybody he's offended or anything like that.
Well, I'm sure the political polls came out in the Philippines and he started dropping like a rock and he had to say something.
What do you mean I'm down 25 points, you know?
Yeah. Hey, if you're gonna run for political office, it's like fighting. You gotta handle the heat, brother.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, man. No. So, yeah. So, yeah. That election day in the Philippines just got interesting. Things just got real over in the Philippines. Put it that way.
Yeah. May 9th is gonna be very interesting.
All right. So those are our two train wrecks of the week. Let's move on to some more news/rumors here. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is possibly in talks to face Badu Jack in April. This is a good fight, man. I favor Badu Jack if this comes off.
Jack the Ripper is going to put him in retirement, son.
I love Jack the Ripper. Friend of the show. Also, too, Juan Manuel Marquez, and you have some news on this, too, will return to face Miguel Cotto June 18th at the Barclays Center. Now, is this signed, sealed, and delivered, or is this just talks?
Rock Nation has already reserved the arena. So normally when a promotion company reserves an arena, I would say the fight is pretty
something. Darn
close.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's on paper yet, but if you go out of the way to reserve the arena, and that's Puerto Rican weekend, by
yeah.
the way,
yeah.
I would say it's almost a done deal.
And that's a horrible fight for Juan Manuel Marquez, moving up in weight. Number one, he's going to have to move up in weight. Number two, I heard he's got a horrible knee. I mean, a horrible knee injury.
Well,
so
hey,
I don't
Miguel,
know if he's back.
Miguel Cotto specializes.
He specializes in that, doesn't he? With Sergio Martinez, now
yeah.
Juan Marquez.
And what do you bet that this is a pay-per-view ripoff?
No way I'm paying for this fight. Absolutely not. Absolutely. I don't care what the undercard brings. I'm not paying for that.
Hey, I hope it's not because I don't want to pay for it. But
no.
We have to do our homework on this show, so.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. I mean, do you think, I mean, let's take a look at it for a minute. I mean, is that a pay-per-view worthy fight?
On their names alone, yes, but if Juan Manuel Marquez is in horrible shape like you say he is, then no.
To mention he's been out of the ring for 2 years.
Yeah, his last fight was Timothy Bradley. Mr. Mile High, Mike Alvarado, that's right. The last time he fought was against Mike Alvarado, wasn't it?
I believe so. Let me see.
And that was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't fought since. You know, and that was when the Forum opened after their remodel. Remember, that was the first fight in the brand new Forum.
Right. Yeah, that's right. It sure was, wasn't it?
Yeah. And ever since then, Triple G's taken the place over, you know.
How many seats does the Forum hold? Because you mentioned Triple G had been, had sold 5,000 tickets already.
Now I know how many it used to hold. It used to hold close to 20,000 for I think it was 17,505 for Lakers basketball. But I don't know what the new configuration is of the Forum. I know they sold 12,000 tickets for Golovkin and Monroe, but I don't know how many more it holds. I don't know how to look that up.
Okay, so if the fight comes off on the 18th, June 18th,
right?
It'll have been 2 years since Juan Manuel Marquez's last fight. His last fight, of course, was in the Forum against Mike Alvarado.
And that was on May 17th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're looking at over 2 year layoff. And how old is Juan Manuel Marquez now? Probably, what, 41, 42?
He's somewhere around there, yeah.
And, of course, we know Miguel is like 35, 36.
Yeah, let's see. It doesn't have his, Yeah, he's 40. He's 41.
Yeah.
Looks like he's around 41 as well. Yeah.
So this is the senior citizen division of boxing, you know.
Unbelievable. So, that's a horrible fight. That's such a horrible fight.
It is.
Such a horrible fight. I hope it doesn't come off, but yeah, it's looking like it. So.
Yeah, no, when a promoter reserves an arena, something's going to happen.
I wonder how much they pay for that arena to reserve it. You know, I'd be real curious how much they actually pay.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we could get somebody on that knows how to, that can answer some of those questions.
I'm not that interested in it. all right, let's talk about Tyson Fury here. He put this on his Twitter account February 13th. This is February 13th, a few days ago. This is what he put on, and he's left everybody hanging ever since. This is his quote. Some massive news coming soon. Had to come to London for an urgent meeting about a massive fight to be announced very soon. You will not believe who. From the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, February 13th.
Well, we all know that Vladimir Klitschko has... He said he's going to use his rematch clause, so it has to be against Vladimir Klitschko.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, because I haven't heard anything on. I mean, had to come to London for an urgent meeting. Massive fight. I wouldn't exactly qualify that as a massive fight. But he hasn't exercised that clause yet. We've not heard any talks about it.
Well, I get the Eric, unless there's something I don't know, I get the feeling that's what it is because they want to reserve Wembley Stadium for probably May or June or something along those lines because that's where that fight's going to be.
I mean, who else could it possibly be? You know, I mean, when you think about it, who else could it possibly be? You know, I mean, it's not going to be Wilder. Wilder's already picked up.
Wilder's supposed to fight Povetkin in May.
He's supposed to.
Yeah.
He's supposed to fight Povetkin last year.
Yeah. I know. I heard a very horrible interview with Lou DiBella, but one of the good things out of it I heard is the Wilder-Povetkin fight will be in May. DiBella is Wilder's promoter, so.
Good deal. Let's talk about this one because you got some news on this one too. Vasily Lomachenko and Nicholas Walters. Apparently, the deal is done. I'm hearing way different things on this, but this is what it said. It said that now they're just looking for a network to televise the fight. To me, it's hard to imagine HBO turning down such a great fight like this. Walters. It doesn't make sense that they would turn this fight down. But you have some more news on that. Dan Rayfield is reporting that the story is false. Bob Arum is saying that it's not done. What do you make of this?
Since Bob Arum is both of their promoters, I believe what he says. It's not done. And Steve Kim, who is a very knowledgeable writer in the sport of boxing, he said on his show on Monday it's not done. So it's not done. But when it is done, it will be at 130, not 126.
Well, it has to, I think, because, Walters can't make that weight.
Right. And so Lomachenko, in order to get a title, is going to have to move out of that division because 130 is going to, that's what their thinking is. So that's why the fight's going to be at 130 because he's going to start campaigning at 130. He's leaving 126.
What do you think of that fight? You think it's a really good fight? I mean, because I tell you what, man, I don't know if Walters is slipping or what. He did not look good in his last fight.
Well, it's hard to judge what Walters has left, and it's hard to judge how good Lomachenko is considering their last fights. I mean, that's why this fight's going to be so intriguing, because they're finally going to be facing somebody who is close to their levels. We're going to find out what Walters has left, and we're going to find out how good Lomachenko still is. Because the problem with Lomachenko and Walters is they both have spent more time out of the ring recently than in it.
I don't understand that. I really, especially with Lomachenko, what are they doing over there at Top Rank with this guy?
Frankly, I don't have any idea. And neither does anybody else associated with Top Rank, I think.
This is a guy that's, he's being talked about. He's got a little buzz around him. I'd have this guy fighting every 6 months, every 4 to 6 months, I'd have this guy in the ring, in the spotlight,
Golovkin used to be 4 times a year. That's exactly what I'd be doing with this dude.
Not to mention, he's only got 5 fights.
Yeah.
Six fights.
Yeah.
Lost one to Salido, I believe.
Yeah. He lost to Salido, and then he beat Gary.
Beat Gary Russell and beat a few others. I mean, he's a great fighter. I'm a really good fighter. I don't know why they're not keeping him busy.
I have no idea.
I don't get it, man.
But, I think if he would stay at 126, doors would open for Santa Cruz, Morris, Lee Selby, all these other, Frampton, Quigg, all these other fights, but he's going to move up to 130, but we'll see. And remember, these lawsuits are going to, one of them is going to start being heard in court next month.
That'll really be interesting. You're speaking of the Heyman lawsuits.
Yeah, the Heyman lawsuits.
Boy and Top Rank and all the other.
I don't know which one's first, but I know one of them is going to be in court next month here in California.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, man. That's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
And see, that's one of the theories going around the boxing circles is why Heyman is taking some of these fights, is so he could show the court, see, I know how to work with other people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's move along to our upcoming fights, man. That's pretty much all the news and rumors, but let's go ahead to our upcoming fights. Now, tonight, you guys won't hear this, this Tuesday, February 16th, on Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Deportes, Alexis Santiago versus Eric Ruiz, 10 rounds bantamweights, and then Lionel Thompson versus Paul Parker, 8 rounds light heavyweights.
And this is a Mayweather Promotions card from Las Vegas. 9 p.m. Eastern, for those that actually want to tune in.
For those who are actually going to want, the five people of you guys that are actually going to watch this.
Right, right. And then Friday we've got three cards.
Yeah, so on Showtime, it's a Showbox card, Adam Lopez. This is on Showtime, February 19th, Friday.
Yep.
And it's Adam Lopez versus Mario Munoz.
I like Adam Lopez. I think he's got a bright future.
10 rounds, junior featherweights. Jerry Odom versus Ronald Ellis, 8 rounds, super middleweights.
Mm-hmm.
And Oceanique Foster versus Lavisas Williams, 8 rounds, junior lightweights. So that's
okay.
On our Showbox card.
Yep.
And now, on CBSSports.net from Iowa, the hotbed of boxing there.
This will be on the CBS Sports Network, channel 221, if you have DirecTV.
There you go. That's why we love you. John Vera Jr. versus I.E. Bruce, 10 rounds, junior middleweights. And Tony Luis versus Samuel Amako, 8 rounds, lightweights.
And Steve Timm, who I talk about a lot, will be at ringside for this fight. He'll be one of the analysts. So for those of you that have never heard him, you can see him on Friday night.
There you go. There you go. Now, also, on Australia TV...
Or Ring TV, or whatever.
Right, or Ring TV, yeah. Your boy, Diego De La Hoya versus Arturo Badillo, 8 rounds, junior featherweights. Listen, man, if you haven't seen Diego De La Hoya fight, tune it in, man, because he's a good prospect. Oscar keeps him locked up so nobody can see him. And he's related to the Golden Boy. He's related to Oscar. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what he's got on Oscar. I don't know what the deal is. He's in a doghouse for some reason because this guy ain't on any public TV at all. Oscar keeps him hitting on Spanish TV and on ringtv.com where nobody sees this guy fight. All right. He's your nephew. Is he a nephew?
Yeah, nephew.
He's your nephew, man. What are you doing? Oscar, what are you doing?
And look,
man? That's cold-blooded.
And Joseph Diaz comes from the Golden Boy stable. Well, his nephew has got as bright a future as Joseph Diaz. And if Joseph Diaz can get an HBO date, what are you doing, your own relative, brother?
You guys
Come
are gente, man. What are you guys doing over there, Golden Boy, man? That's messed up, man. Oscar, get it together. Also on the other card there, Carlos Morales versus Omar Tienda, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. And Oscar Duarte versus Jose Fabian Naranjo, four rounds, lightweights. So there you go.
And then on Saturday on Unimas, we have a card that
Robert's channel here, yeah. Unimas on Saturday at Phoenix, Jesse Magdaleno versus Ray Perez, 10 rounds, junior featherweights. Carlos Castro versus Rafael Reyes, 6 rounds, junior lightweights. Let's see here. There's a BN Sports card also from Monterey. Francisco Rodriguez versus Ramon Garcia, 10 rounds flyweights. And now in Germany on Saturday, you'll have to stream this one. I've got Fedor Chudinov versus Felix Sturm, rematch, 12 rounds for Chudinov's WBA super middleweight title.
That is correct.
I'm surprised that Felix Sturm never made a bigger splash in the U.S. after that De La Hoya fight. Because I thought he won that fight.
Well,
he got so
upset, he told people over here he would never come back to the U.S., and he never has.
Yeah, he had to know it was going to be an uphill, especially with the judges and the going. Did you think he won that fight? I thought he won that fight, man.
It was close, man. I'm sorry that he wants to stay hidden in his home country because... You know, he's a good fighter, but he's never going to get the recognition that he probably deserves because he doesn't want to fight over here.
He's over there, him and Diego De La Hoya fighting on the same card. You're never going to see him.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our history lesson. February 9th, 1991.
I view this as very sad because this was the last fight of Mr. Leonard's career, man.
Credible fight of his career, yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. Terry Norris versus Sugar Ray Leonard. You know, man, I remember this fight, and coming into this fight, I didn't know a whole lot about Terry Norris. I remember people saying he was really good, a really good fighter, quality fighter, you know. But it wasn't like it is now. Now we have the internet, people can access any fighter, we got BoxRec,
right.
We got YouTube. I can
right.
see anything I want. You know,
right.
back then, you know, Robert and I didn't have this luxury that you kids have today.
No.
You know, we were kept in the dark on a lot of things. You didn't see every fight. We had to,
no.
we had to, you know, we had to make a living over the rumor mill. We didn't know anything
about this, correct.
We know Terry Norris had a buzz surrounding him, but, you know, I didn't know a whole lot about him. You know, everybody knew Sugar Ray. Sugar Ray was on TV. He was on commercials. He was, you know, largely one of the best fighters of his generation, you know. Even though he was a great fighter, we all knew he was pretty much finished, too.
That's right.
Terry Norris pretty much confirmed that on February 9th.
Yeah.
It was evident after that first round that Sugar Ray was in way over his head.
Yep.
You know, Leonard was 34 when he challenged Terry Norris. You know what got me is that Leonard opened as a 3-1 favorite for this fight.
Well, that's because everybody knew who Sugar Ray was. Nobody knew who Terry Norris was.
It took place in Madison Square Garden on February 9th. Leonard was out 14 months coming off a unanimous decision win over Roberto Duran in their third fight, which was a joke. 7 years prior to that, Sugar announced he was retiring. You know, several more retired. He retired every couple of weeks. Terry Norris was 11 years younger than Sugar Ray. Was fighting in Madison Square for the first time. He had a record of 26-3. And
this was on Showtime, too.
Yeah, that may have been the reason why Leonard opened up as such a big favorite. You know, 3-1 on this guy. Because, like I said, man, I mean, he's 26-3, and you're thinking, all right, this is kind of, you know, we know the guy's okay, you know, but, you know, he's fighting Sugar Ray, he's not going to be. Because, you know, when Leonard fought, like, Donnie Lalonde, we knew Lalonde was not that good, you know, and he went up to, what was it, super middleweight, wasn't it, when he fought him?
Yeah, 168.
Yeah, we knew Lalonde wasn't that good. Nobody had heard of Lalonde. He was like a, you know, a fringe champion, so... That's kind of what they were thinking here. Yeah, I think that was what a lot of people were thinking about, you know.
Right.
Fight took place at 154. Sugar Ray came in a half a pound heavier than Norris did, so he was a little bit bigger, you know, according to the scale. Norris dominated this fight early on. He was way too quick, you know, way too quick for Leonard. And as early as the second round, you know, you notice the speed difference. You notice it in the first round. And you're thinking, okay, well, maybe he has to get his footing and everything like that. Maybe he's got to get it. You know, he was off for 14 months, whatever it was. And he never got it back, man. Terry Norris knocked him down in the second round with just a beautiful counter right hand. It was actually a counter left hook, if I remember right. It was a counter left hook. And it just put him straight down. Now, this is a great part. Now, Terry Norris admitted before and after the fight that Sugar Ray Leonard was his hero. When that knockdown hit in that second round, Leonard hit the canvas. Norris went over there to hit him again. That's kind of what you're supposed to do until the ref, you know, but Leonard went down. Norris went over there to hit him again. Ref kind of jumped in. The punch actually missed Leonard, but it was like kind of let you know that this guy's not playing around with you. You know, you may be his hero, but not tonight. You're not his hero tonight, you know, in his 12 rounds.
Right.
You know, the fight carried on pretty much the same with Norris just stalking him and just laid out a beating. I mean, just a beating. Leonard went down again in the seventh round. He did actually make it to the final bell, much to the surprise of everyone. The scores of this fight were 120-104, 119-103. I don't know who gave Leonard a round. And this one was just preposterous. 116-110. How on earth you could have given Leonard four rounds of that fight is just beyond me. And then, you know, Norris retained his belt in the process. Norris praised Leonard after the fight. How did you 116-110?
Yeah.
How could you even give him one round in that fight?
I don't know. That's why I view this as a very sad fight because it was basically the end of a living legend, you know.
Yeah.
And but in boxing it happens all the time, but you don't like to see your living legend, you know, go out like that, but
right.
You know.
You know, after the fight, Norris praised Leonard, saying, you know, it was a sad victory. He said, he's my idol, and I beat him badly. I didn't want it to be that way. He's still my idol. After the decision was announced, Leonard took the ring microphone and announced, this is my last fight. It took this fight to show me that it's no longer my time. Although Leonard fought again 6 years later when he was completely demolished by Hector Macho Camacho.
That is correct, yep.
But this was, we kind of consider this the last fight of Leonard's career because this is pretty much where it ended.
Yeah.
As usual, Freddy Pacheco was on his game during this fight. He said if Ray Leonard ever thinks about coming back, he should watch this fight over and over again.
Well, and he did come back 6 years later, but I guess he didn't watch this fight over and over again.
Well, Camacho was pretty much done at that point, too. So, yeah. But he was still in the ring fighting, so that's a big difference.
That's right. Yeah.
After this fight, man, I think Terry Norris would have given Sugar Ray a ton of problems in his prime. Leonard would have really had to have been at his best to beat Terry Norris in his prime. He really would have.
And Terry Norris was an underrated champion, and his career didn't last as long as I thought it would.
Terry Norris was one of my absolute favorite fighters, man. The problem with Terry Norris is that he didn't have a chin. You know,
yep.
I mean, he got his bell rung. Simon Brown, I mean, in that four rounds.
I remember Simon Brown.
Wow, yep. Man. And Simon Brown was a murderer back then, man. But, I mean, Terry, you didn't expect that to happen. I mean, he was knocked senseless in every one of those four rounds. You know, I mean.
Would Terry Norris in the 90s be considered the Amir Khan of today with no chin?
I think he might have been. I mean, because his boxing ability was off the charts.
Yeah.
When he boxed, I mean, you look at Simon Brown, that second fight they had with him and Simon Brown, and he thoroughly just demolished him.
Yeah.
I mean, Norris could punch. I mean, he had a ton of power. Look what he did to Meldrick Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was amazing, man. I mean, he demolished Taylor. And, I mean, after seeing Taylor with Chavez and everything like that, I mean, Terry Norris is a monster, man. And I who do you think would have won that fight in his prime at 154? Do you think Terry Norris would have beat Sugar Ray?
Yes. After what I saw, I do too.
A lot of people said that this guy would have gave Sugar Ray fits in his prime, man, for sure. And I think at 154, I think Norris just had his ticket, man. Norris was just quick.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, just unbelievable.
No, Terry Norris, even though his career didn't last as long as I thought it would, he was always involved in very entertaining, memorable fights. Whenever he fought, he's one of those guys that you circled the calendar because you knew when you watched him, it wasn't going to be boring. It's kind of like Triple G today. You know, when Golovkin fights, it's not going to be boring no matter what happens.
Right. And there was talks. I remember back in the day, there was talks about Terry Norris and Julio Cesar Chavez fighting. And I said, man, that's a mismatch if I ever saw one, man. I mean, that Norris is just too big for that guy. Too big, too strong,
right.
Everything.
That's right.
That's a big mismatch. And that's why I believe that's why that fight never came off, because it was Don King. Both of them were Don King promoted.
That's right.
Very sad, though, with Terry Norris, man. Sugar Ray Leonard, of course, goes on to promoting and stuff like that. He's still involved in the fight game a lot and still seems
and
to have all the
faculties
and everything.
He's on all the NBC cards now,
Yeah, and he still seems to have all his faculties together and everything like that, and which is great.
Yeah.
Terry Norris, apparently has an early onset of Parkinson's, I want to say.
That's what I heard, yeah.
He can barely talk. I mean, he can. It's just sad.
Too many wars, man.
Yeah.
Too many wars.
Yeah. Just sad, man.
That's why I don't criticize somebody when they say they don't want to do it anymore, because, we're not taking the punches. We're not dealing with the punishment that they have to go through.
Right.
And don't forget, not only are you talking about the actual fights themselves, but look at all the sparring you do and the fact that you get hit when you're in training.
Well, and the speculation is, I mean, in extreme cases like you talk about like Gerald McClellan or something like that, like extreme cases like that, most of the cases are actually, all this stuff happens during sparring and during training camp and all that other stuff because, that's where you're fighting every day in there.
Yeah. And I've gotten all kinds of feedback because you just recently put up the Gerald McClellan, Nigel Benn fight over on the ringside Robbie's boxing corner, and I've gotten a lot of feedback. Why would you put up such a sad fight? Well, because it was very entertaining while it was happening. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be.
That was one of the best fights I had ever seen.
Yeah.
Now, nobody wants to watch it again. Nobody wants to talk about it again because of the outcome. But you need to talk about it again. Number one, so this doesn't happen again. You know, that's number one. And, it was a great fight while it lasted. But you need this to keep things in perspective. That this is it's a sporting event.
Yeah.
There's life after this,
Yeah, and no, it's, I mean, these things do happen. I mean, we've got the 2016 version of this right now, Pritchard Cologne. Look at what happened to him last year.
Yeah, you know.
And Pritchard Cologne will never be featured on one of our history lessons, but hey, these things happen all the time in boxing. People just need to be aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, look at Mancini and Dooku Kim. I mean, there's a lot out there, man. And not to mention, I mean, so what's the difference between going over that fight, you know, like Nigel Bennett, Jerry McClellan, and going over this fight with Terry Norris?
Yeah.
Who, I mean, because he's got the onset of or an Ali fight who's got the onset of Parkinson's.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Anything like that. Now, you know, and just completely off topic, and I just happened to hit Ali, and it just kind of made me think of this. The Daily Mirror actually reported today, and I'm not sure how true this is. This is just an article I just kind of saw very quickly, that he's actually been taken to intensive care for being non-responsive at his house. I'm not sure how.
Now, that I don't know if it's true because apparently.
I don't know either. So take it with a grain of salt.
Because apparently Ali can't talk anymore. But apparently, if you follow him on the internet, he types like crazy.
That's what I'm hearing too. Let's see here.
You know.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything in the news about it. So
no.
It's probably just BS. So
yeah, internet rumor. Come on, guys.
Yeah, internet rumor. That's right.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be coming out of the Daily Mirror or something like that. Yeah. It was one of the UK mag. But they always jack stuff up over there.
Yeah, well, hey, that's why they're the best boxing fans on the planet. They, you know, that's why they have their own 24-hour boxing channel like we should have.
I would move to the UK for that boxing channel. <That's> like,
I don't know how difficult it would be to get citizenship, but it would be very interesting to actually check that out.
It might be worth it, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're dealing in pounds instead of dollars, and
yeah,
exactly,
exactly.
Like tea and everything like that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it? 5 o'clock every day, tea time over there.
That's right. That's right. All right.
And UK people listening, we're not making fun of you. We enjoy what you do. You're the best boxing fans on the planet. So keep it up.
We love the UK. We definitely love the UK.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to have a different segment here because it's a short boxing week. Not a whole lot going on, a lot of news, but not a whole lot of fights going on and everything like that. So we got a little segment here. We're going to play a little game with Robert called Psychic or Psycho.
Okay.
All right. So the way this works is I'm going to ask Robert a series of questions, and then we will determine if he's psychic or psycho. All right?
Okay.
So first question. Will Chocolatito ever headline, or will he just be Triple G's lapdog?
No. From what I heard yesterday, the answer to that question will be yes. So I would put that in the psychic category. Apparently, if he wins on April 23rd, he will be headlining his own Boxing After Dark show later on in the year.
I haven't seen they haven't had Boxing After Dark in a while.
Well, apparently. It's going to come back with a vengeance because he's supposed to be getting a rematch, the rematch that they want him to have, and I forget the fighter's name.
Estrada.
Yeah, apparently
Estrada,
that's going.
Yeah.
Apparently that's going to be his next fight. Apparently.
Wow. Okay. So they're going to eventually. All right.
All right.
Until I see it, I don't believe it. You know how I.
All right.
That's how I do it. Psycho.
All right. Okay.
All right, we talked about Vasily Lomachenko and Nicholas Walters, that fight. Which fight actually has a better chance of coming off? Walters and Lomachenko or Rigondeaux versus Lomachenko?
No, Walters-Lomachenko.
Walters-Lomachenko, you think that's going to happen?
Well, they're both promoted by the same guy. Bob Arum doesn't want anything to do with Rigo. He got rid of him, so it ain't happening.
So do you think, let me ask you this, so he goes up to 130 to fight the Axeman. Do you think he stays at 130?
Well, according to what Bob Arum told Steve Kim yesterday, that's the plan because he can't. According to Bob Arum, he can't get a title shot at 126 because Bob Arum doesn't want to work with Al Haymon.
There's nobody at 130. I mean, nobody.
I know, and well, that's why they want him at 130 so he can take all the belts, and everybody has to deal with him at 130.
That's silly. Yeah, he should stick. You know, man. He really should stick at 126. You got a billion guys that, you know, he's with Top Rank. So Jerry Russell, Leo Santa Cruz, those guys are all involved with the.
I hate to put it like this, maybe I shouldn't say this, but unless Bob Arum dies, Top Rank ain't going to work with anybody associated with PBC or Al Heyman. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, they're going to jump ship. That's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen, man.
Well, but he's going to run out his contract, and we don't know how many fights are left on that stupid deal. He's already fought, his first 5 fights have been with Arum, or first 6. How many more fights does he have with him?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Walters-Lomachenko fight is going to come off definitely before the Rigo fight. I think Rigo-Lomachenko is a better matchup, but I think Lomachenko ices Walters, man. Walters did not look good in his last fight, man, at all.
I'm not going to make an opinion on that until I know it's going to be signed, sealed, and delivered.
Right, right. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think it has a better chance of coming off than Rigo.
But Rigo's got problems of his own. He signed with a promotion company that don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean,
is this kind of stupid or something? I mean, look, man. I don't know if he's brain damaged or what, but look, you had a company that was lousy. You've got a billion other companies that are really good. You have like top tier companies that would be interested in you, and you signed with some other off the wall company. Now you're fighting in England on an undercard.
Yeah.
On an undercard. You're one of the longest. Come on, man. Really?
And unfortunately, he made such an embarrassment of himself. Not to us true boxing fans, but to the rest of the public, with his last fight on the Golovkin undercard, nobody over here wants to deal with him. So everybody in boxing's happy that he's over in the UK.
That's a tough thing to overcome, man. Because you look at him and you're just like, as a fan. I mean, I like the way he boxes, because if I wanted to box like anybody, I'd box like Rigo or Floyd Mayweather, because I don't get hit.
Right.
I'm not trying to get hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to get hit in the face. So I'd like to box like those guys. So I can appreciate that stuff. But the people that pay the money and, the fans, they want to see action, and that's the last thing they're getting in his fights.
I mean, when Harold Letterman boldly says, I'm getting paid to judge this fight and there's nothing to judge, I don't want to see this guy again, of course he put it a lot more brutal than that, but when
that
he said
rough,
that...
man. Yeah, I've never heard Letterman bash somebody like that, but yeah, that was rough.
When he said that on a pay-per-view telecast, that ought to tell you something about Guillermo Rigondeaux.
Well, and two, I mean, he probably could have got rid of that guy, to be honest. I mean, Rigo's very skilled. I mean, Rigo probably could have got rid of that guy if he pressed him a little bit more, but he wasn't doing that, He didn't want to take any chances, which is fine. I don't care, But the caveat to that is that you're not going to be seen on TV now. So
no, and he wasted 30 minutes of pay-per-view time, and people who watched that pay-per-view, granted it was only 150,000, but apparently we 150,000, we've got a hell of a voice because we've sent him across the pond.
Yeah, right.
No doubt.
Unbelievable.
So
So tell me. So I think Robbie's psychic on that one.
Yeah.
What are the chances that Roy Jones loses his fight to a fan on March 20th?
That's complete psycho, man, because unless a former boxer is the one that steps into the ring with him, who knows what he's doing, there's no chance.
No.
I mean, we joked about it earlier, saying how Eric could pay off his debts or whatever. But realistically, unless you're a former boxer and you've got some skill, you ain't beating Roy Jones.
I think that's the funny thing is that like, you think that, because you want to fight in the third grade, I bet I could probably ice Roy Jones out, I see he's probably slowed down. I'm in pretty good shape, Man, come on, man.
Now, does Floyd Mayweather show up to collect that money?
I would. I would show him. That's like his lunch money. That's like lunch money for Floyd, I mean?
Yeah.
A trip over there for Floyd would cost $100,000. He's paying a jet and everything else. And
I mean, can Floyd make that his 50th fight?
Yeah.
All right, because one of the things we didn't talk about, unless you're going to bring it up, Floyd has actually opened negotiations with Danny Garcia.
Hold on, because that's my next one here. Let's move forward here. Floyd Mayweather has recently made some comments basically saying he could shut down the Canelo-Khan fight on May 7th by coming back and fighting Danny Garcia. Is he right?
No, because let me remind people how this stuff works. The Canelo-Khan fight has already been signed, sealed, delivered. They've got the pay-per-view date reserved. The way the cable and satellite companies work, you can only have one pay-per-view event a day. And if Floyd wanted to fight Danny Garcia on May 7th in Las Vegas, it would not be on pay-per-view because Canelo and Khan have already reserved that date. So there's no... Floyd and Danny could fight at the MGM Grand on the same night, but it will never be on pay-per-view because under the rules, how it's set up through the television distributors, you can only have one pay-per-view event a day.
Okay, so Floyd has said, too, he was like, well, I beat Canelo, Garcia beat Khan, isn't this a better fight? I don't think it's a better fight at all.
No, and like Steve said on his show yesterday, he said, you know, I want to see Floyd actually pull this off because I want to see how many tickets are sold for Canelo and Khan and how many tickets are sold for Mayweather-Garcia.
I think the Mayweather-Garcia is a horrible fight. I really
do.
I don't think Garcia's got a shot against Mayweather. I mean, especially the way he fights, his style fits right into Mayweather's scheme, man.
I love that. Why do you think Floyd chose? Do you think Floyd?
Right.
I mean, Floyd's not stupid.
Right.
I mean, we may not like Floyd for a lot of the things he does, but he knows more about boxing than the two of us would ever know.
Right.
I mean, he knows how to pick out his opponents.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Canelo Khan is a much better fight. I don't know how much better. It's a very intriguing fight to me. I would plunk down money to watch Canelo Khan before I would plunk down money to watch Mayweather Garcia. Put it that way.
I would like to watch both fights, but I'm only paying for one.
Yeah,
and I'm only paying for Canelo and Khan.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, that does it for the game, and it's unanimous. Robert is a psycho. It was predetermined, buddy. It's predetermined, just like WWE.
All right.
All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robert on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call his Ringside Robbie's Corner at 773-572-7781. And listen to all the podcasts and history lessons. I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.